Welcome to the podcast of The Table at Central United Methodist Church. Our podcast weaves together the message and a taste of the music that we experience each Sunday morning as we root our lives in grace through worship here at The Table. More and more people are finding their way to The Table through this podcast, so if you are one of the many, many folks who tune in each week from other parts of California, other parts of our country, or even from other places in the world, we would invite you to take a next step in growing in faith here at The Table. You can do that online at our website, thetableumc.org. There you'll find links to social media and also a way to make a deep commitment to our community to express how you hope to root your life in grace, to grow in faith, to reach in love, and to give generously. If you're one of the many people listening to this but haven't quite walked through the door of the sanctuary yet on a Sunday morning, we would love to welcome you into the beauty of this sanctuary. We gather each Sunday for worship at 9:30 and at 11. Our address is 5265 H Street in East Sacramento.
I'm so glad Jesus lived in me. I'm so glad Jesus lived in me. I'm so glad Jesus lived in me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lived in me. Satan had me bound. Jesus lived in me. Satan had me bound. Jesus lived in me. Satan had me bound. Jesus lived in me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lived in me.
This morning we have a reading from Isaiah, the 55th chapter, verses 10 through 13. Here begins God's word. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Amen.
I know everybody on this island has a role on this island, so maybe I can roll with mine. I can lead with pride, I can make us strong. I'll be satisfied if I play along, but the voice inside sings a different song. What is wrong with me? See the light as it shines on the sea, it's blinding. But no one knows how deep it goes. And it seems like it's calling out to me, so come find me and let me know what's beyond that line. Will I cross that line? The line where the sky meets the sea, it calls me. And no one knows how far it goes. If the wind in my sail on the sea stays behind me, one day I'll know how far it'll go.
We are so blessed to just live and be here in this rich, rich, rich place. Not only with music, but, you know, with how beautiful creation here is in California. If human beings are not mindful, we sometimes can become forgetful of that and the beauty and the mystery of the creation in which we live. Last week, Matt got to go on vacation, and he had this powerful reminder that he shared with us in our kitchen table with Brendan and me and Chris when he returned, They were up at the Olympic Peninsula, which is outside of Seattle. There's a state park there. And Matt was hiking with his family there, and he witnessed really the power and resilience of trees in their grandeur, trees that took root not in the earth, but inside fallen trees, if that makes sense. And then from there, he was able to go to the edge of the ocean and watch his daughter and her friend play in the out for hours. Look at that. Is that great? In the crashing waves. Clearly, it is cold water in Washington. Time away in beautiful places like that can remind us that God has really been at work in creation already for a very, very long time, especially if we compare it to our short stay here on earth. In that kitchen table, Matt was reflecting on how the time away reminded him really of the depth of God's mercy and mystery as it has unfolded over the generations. And he felt in that moment, he said, a real deep awareness of his own insignificance and how small he was, which I told him I thought that was a very healthy thing for him in his life, actually. Smallness in relation to God's vastness. It's humbling to have those kinds of experiences. And I believe that there is a way in which this movie that we just heard one of the greatest songs from, Moana, is an opportunity for children as well as adults to really slow down and to wonder and to express our gratitude for the beauty and mystery that we call God's creation. There's a poem by William Cowper that was written in the 1700s, and it starts, God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. And the film Moana shows us that there was a time in history when people were really comfortable with that way of thinking. Because for pre-scientific folks, the mysterious, the unexplainable, it was part of their everyday life. And their myths rose out of their wonderings about the mystery surrounding them. There was so much that they couldn't understand that they put it all into a category of mystery, usually. And depending on what their culture was, they would account for that mystery by either pointing to God or to gods, right? And telling stories about it. Stories were formed and passed from generation to generation. And even our Christian tradition includes two different creation stories in the book of Genesis. I don't know if folks all know that. The mystery of creation was so big that we couldn't contain it in just one small story, so we have two stories in the Bible. And the story of Moana is a beautiful and creative blend of Polynesian creation stories and mythology held alongside the Disney imagination. And this morning, that's what I'm going to try to do, is hold Moana, as Matt said, alongside our scripture reading that's assigned to the global church that comes from Isaiah 55. Many of the mysteries of the Polynesian culture and history come alive in this film. Ancient creation myths of their people are blended with the beauty and the magic of animation, which we'll see in a little bit, to create a story that I believe invites the viewer to wonder about questions, deep questions, and hopefully get inspired to celebrate and care for our creation as well as following God's call in our life. There always we want to have a little bit of a critical eye when we are looking at these films this summer, and there is some genuine concern about the way that Disney collapsed the Polynesian myths. He just collapsed a lot of them into each other, thus losing maybe a lot of the uniqueness from the different islands. It's not Hawaiian, for example, and many of us make the assumption that Moana is a Hawaiian princess, but she's a Polynesian princess. And the danger is that if we lump everything together, that it'll reinforce stereotypes of people from the Pacific Islands. And in particular, you notice, and we'll show you this, there is a real collapsing of all of the myths of Maui that come into this one demigod. But at the same time, I think the movie is very successful in the way it invites children as well as adults into questions that come out of our ancient myths, like questions like, how did the sun get in the sky, right? How does the moon revolve around things? What makes the earth work? How does the ocean flow? How big is the ocean? Some of us have heard our children ask us, some of us wonder these very things. Well, Moana opens with a story of how their beautiful island, a paradise really, has become threatened. And Moana's grandma wants the children to know the ancient story of the island. And so she wants to tell the story, but Moana's father does not want the children to know the story and wants to protect them from the knowledge that their precious island is losing its fruitfulness at the hands of monsters. And I just want to give a brief summary of the mythological story that Grandma is telling. There is the mother island. Her name is Te Fiti. And Te Fiti holds the power, all of the power of creation in her heart. Te Fiti shared creation with the world. A demigod named Maui thought that if he could possess Te Fiti's heart, that he could have the power of creation instead of her. So he ventures deep into the ocean, and he finds Te Fiti's heart, and he captures it with his tool, which is a magic fishhook. Without her heart, because Maui has stolen it, Te Fiti begins to crumble, and she gives birth to a terrible darkness that starts to cover the land and the ocean. Maui tries to escape from her, but gets confronted by the fire god Taka. And when this happened, Maui gets struck from the sky, and he and his fishhook are banished, and thousands of years have gone by, and no one has ever seen Maui again. So in the opening scene, Moana's grandmother just told the story that I just told you and shared it with all these little tiny children and tells them, one day, the heart of Te Fiti will be found by one. Well, we know who the one is. It's Moana. Who will voyage beyond the reef, find Maui again, and deliver him across the ocean to restore Te Fiti's heart and will save all the people. And Moana's father is comforting the children because now they're all scared because of all those monsters. Let's watch.
No one goes outside the reef. We are safe here. There is no darkness. There are no monsters. No monsters! Hey! No, there is nothing beyond our reef but storms and rough seas.
I can throw up!
As long as we stay on our very safe island, we'll be fine.
The legends are true. Someone will have to go.
Mother, Motu Nui is paradise. Who would want to go anywhere else?
Oh,
Moana, what are you doing? You scared me.
Moana, I want to walk back.
I know, but you don't go out there. It's dangerous. Moana, come on.
You don't go out there. It's dangerous. It feels to me like Moana's father has forgotten how the island came into being and what needs to happen in order for the island to restore or be restored to its fruitfulness. Maybe he's lost his place in the story, or maybe he just wants to ignore it. But Moana, as a little girl, as you saw, was given the heart of Te Fiti by the ocean, but she drops it. And right after that, her grandmother is in the bushes and she gets the heart of Te Fiti. Because Moana's grandmother is passing the story to the children. She doesn't want them to forget. And I think this is also what Isaiah is doing in the scripture that we heard Chris read for us this morning. The writer of Isaiah wants them to remember the story of Yahweh, who delivers the people out of dire circumstances. And I hear it kind of like this. Pay attention to what Yahweh is doing in your midst. Take care and love people. What Yahweh is doing. Keep your focus. Like Moana, Isaiah 55 points to the cycles of nature. And that within the cycles of nature lies the story of God's promise. The heart of God's story is life itself. The images in this scripture of moisture, of rain and snow that come down and water from above cause the earth to burst forth. And when the earth doesn't receive this moisture, what we know, we're from California, we've been through a drought, the earth shrivels up. What is beautiful and green can turn dead and brown. The cycle of all life working together is God's promise that this same ancient story that is for us can be found throughout history. It gets echoed for us in Moana. It doesn't end there, though. There's more, because Isaiah goes on to say, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth." God's word is also part of the cycle of life. God's word that does not return empty, it delivers. Because God is a partner with human beings in that deliverance. In our story, Jesus is the one who leads us into God's unfolding mystery. Moana is going to be the one that we see does this for her people. Jesus does it for us. I note, if you've seen this movie, that Moana really doesn't seem afraid. Her father seems terrified. But Moana does not seem afraid. Part of the song that we heard sung, I want to review the lyrics. She says, "There's a line where the sky meets the sea and it calls me," that horizon line, right? But no one knows how far it goes. All the time wondering where I need to be is behind me. I'm on my own to worlds unknown. And she sings this as we watch her grow up in the film, and she gets a boat and she goes forth to venture. And she says, "Every turn I take, every trail I track is a choice I make. Now I can't turn back from the great unknown." There's that mystery again. "Where I go alone, where I long to be." See, when God's story becomes our story, we too find our true calling, our true identity, and our true selves. And so we see Moana, who has grown up now, decided to say yes to her call. And she, in this scene, is, and I want to say, if you haven't seen the movie, you're going to see enough today that I'm spoiling it for you. But that's the way it is today, folks. You're going to see her with her trusty sidekick, which is a chicken, because it's Disney, right? And she sets off on this journey to find Maui. She has Te Fiti's heart because her grandmother has given it to her. And she gets shipwrecked. And she thinks the ocean is supposed to help her, and she's angry because the ocean has wrecked her boat, all right, while she's trying to find Maui. Let's watch.
Maui, shapeshifter, demigod of the wind and sea, I am Moana.
Hero of men.
What?
It's actually Maui, shapeshifter, demigod of the wind and sea, hero of men. I interrupted from the top. Hero of men. Go.
I am.
Sorry. And women. Men and women. Both. All. Not a guy girl thing. You know, Maui is a hero to all. You're doing great.
What? No! I'm here to...
Oh, of course. Yes. Maui always has time for his fans. Mm-hmm. When you use a bird to write with, it's called tweeting. Huh? I know, not every day you get a chance to meet your hero.
You are not my hero, and I'm not here so you can sign my oar. I'm here because you stole the heart of Tefiti, and you will board my boat. Sail across the sea and put it back!
At this point in the film, Maui is not overly impressed with Moana. All Maui wants is the boat. Because there's only one thing Maui can't do. He can't float. So he does everything he can to get that boat from Moana. See, Maui feels that it's necessary, as she gets to know him, for her to really understand how great he is as a demigod. And he feels he's great because of all of the things that he has done for not just Moana, but for all of creation. And this is where, as I said, a lot of the creation myths, that are, some of which are attributed to Maui, get kind of folded together. So we're going to show you a clip in which you need to pay attention to the tattoos, all right? As Maui feels it's necessary to make sure she's reminded how great he is.
Yeah. It almost sounded like you don't like me, which is impossible because I got stuck here for 1,000 years trying to get the heart as a gift for you mortals so you could have the power to create life itself. Yeah. So what I believe you were trying to say is thank you.
Thank you?
You're welcome.
What? No. I wasn't. Why would I ever say
okay,
that?
Okay. I see what's happening, yeah. You're face to face with greatness and it's strange. You don't even know how you feel. It's adorable. Well, it's nice to see that humans never change. Open your eyes, let's begin. Yes, it's really me, it's Maui, breathe it in. I know it's a lot, the hair, the bod. When you're staring at a demigod, what can I say except you're welcome? for the tides, the sun, the sky. Hey, it's okay, it's okay, you're welcome. I'm just an ordinary demi guy. Hey, what has two thumbs and pulled up the sky? When you were waddling yay high, this guy. When the nights got cold, who stole you fire from down below? Looking at him, yo. Oh, also I lassoed the sun. You're welcome to stretch your days and bring you fun. Also I harness the breeze. You're welcome to fill your sails and shake your trees. So what can I say except you're welcome for the islands I pull from the sea. There's no need to pray, it's okay, you're welcome. Ha, I guess it's just my way of being me. You're welcome, well, come to think of it. Kid, honestly, I could go on and on. I could explain every natural phenomenon. The tide, the grass, the ground. Oh, that was Maui just messing around. I killed an eel, I buried its guts. Sprouted a tree, now you got coconuts. What's the lesson? What is the takeaway? Don't mess with Maui when he's on a breakaway. And the tapestry here in my skin is a map of the victories I win. Look where I've been, I make everything happen. Look at that mean mini Maui. Hey! Well, anyway, let me say you're welcome. Wonderful world you know. Hey, it's okay, it's okay. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Well, come to think of it, I gotta go.
Hey,
hey, it's
hey,
your day to
hey,
say
hey,
you're welcome.
You're welcome.
Cause I'm gonna need that boat.
Hey,
I'm sailing away, away.
Hey,
you're welcome.
You're welcome.
Cause Maui can do everything but float. Thank you!
Hey! Let me out! You lying, slimy son of a...
You're welcome.
That's just one of the times he ditches Moana and tries to steal her boat. You see, the people of God take convincing, I think, like Maui takes convincing. Ultimately, Moana inspires him to help her on her mission to restore the heart of Te Fiti, even though they both know that they're going to meet this lava monster, Taka. They set out on a journey across the horizon, right? Maybe that sounds just like a Disney fantasy. But then again, maybe you hear some echoes of our scripture in it. Because the people of God take convincing too. You heard it. The cypress tree and the myrtle shrub shall grow up. It's as though Isaiah is trying to remind them, you're here in the desert, but these plants are going to grow and you'll be able to build boats and your culture will be able to survive. This is all part of our ancient story too. And let's remember that if we continue to think, oh, that's just a Disney fantasy or Polynesian myths, that our story has things like stars in the heaven that guide people on camels to go to a small manger where they kneel down and welcome and begin to worship a baby, and angelic choirs in the sky begin to talk to shepherds. So we too, in our story, have beautiful, wonderful pictures that come together to explain for all of us how God's word comes alive. So Maui and Moana travel together as the people of God have traveled together through many sufferings and hairy situations. And finally, they reach the island where Te Fiti lives. And Moana reaches the very top of the island and believes that now she will restore the heart, right? That's what we've been waiting for the whole movie. And when she gets there, it's all dark, and Te Fiti is gone, and there's nothing but an empty crater. And this is a critical moment for Moana, because she's wondering, has her long journey just led her to failure? And that's in part what we're hearing echoed in Isaiah 55. Why Isaiah is trying to restore the people's faith, because I think they get in bondage again in Babylon and they're thinking, has all of this been for naught? Is the story of God's word not really true? So the scene we're going to show right now is Moana holding the heart in her hand with a deep moment and a choice for herself that she has to make on whether what she's been fighting and running towards seems maybe not real. Let's watch.
Tafiti, it's gone. Let her come to me. I have crossed the horizon to find you. Does not define you. This is not who you are. You know who you are. Who you truly are. And so we see that what Moana and Maui have been fighting and running from, the fear of the lava monster seems to be exactly where she actually needed to go. In Isaiah, God's act of redeeming a small group of exiles ends up transforming the whole world. This is both a cause of celebration, right? But also, I believe it is a reminder for all of us to be humble and to remember our place in following God and treasuring God. Human beings must face our own fear that we may not be enough, that we may not have enough to survive. And the last scene we're going to show you, that seems almost like the end, right? But it's not. At the very end, Maui learns his lesson too. there's a little bit more work that has to be done here. So we pick up the scene right where we left it off with Maui knowing he no longer has his magic fish hook. He's been returned, and we know that he is the one who stole her heart. Let's watch what happens.
The chicken lives.
I'm sorry about your hook.
Well, hook, no hook. I'm Maui. Tafiti! Hey, I mean, how you been? Look, what I did was wrong. I have no excuse. I'm sorry.
You know, it'd be rude to refuse a gift from a goddess.
Thank you. Your kind gesture is deeply appreciated.
Chee-hoo.
So Moana receives her boat and restores her people to being voyagers, which they had put away and forgotten. God's desire to bless and recreate is mysterious and wondrous in its immensity and power, and maybe we can learn, like Moana and her father, who becomes a voyager again, to trust that about God. Over and over again, God gives us that lesson. And Moana's grandmother, she believed it all of her life. And now I believe Moana understands it too. And generations will follow her, not to just stay on the island, but to voyage forth. Before such a God, I hope that our imaginations can be stirred with wonder and joy, not unlike what happened with Matt last week, when he stood in the awe and the grandeur of the trees, the gigantic trees, and the beautiful edge of the ocean. That same ocean is the ocean that called for Moana. So may we remember that we too are part of this story, and may we pause this morning to recognize and to remember and to see the beauty that is all around us, even in the beauty of the grain from the field and the grapes from the vine that come together in the simplicity but the grandeur of this meal that Jesus has given us in our story.
I woke up this morning with my mind staying on Jesus. Oh, I woke up this morning with my mind staying on the Lord. I woke up this morning with my mind
staying on Jesus.
Hallelujah.
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 Singing and praying with my mind
staying on Jesus.
Singing and praying with my mind
staying on the Lord.
Singing and praying with my mind
staying.